welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I want to remind you the program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And you can support the show on a one-time basis, support.greatdetectives.net. You can also become an ongoing monthly Patreon supporter at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for this week's episode of Boston Blackie. The original airing date, June the 11th, 1945. And the title is Oscar Wolfe, Troublemaker.
How can you tell, Tom? All you do is go up and down in the elevator all day long.
When I'm on the main floor, I can sneak a look out the front door to keep myself posted.
Oh, I see.
Here's your floor, Miss Wesley.
Thank you. When Mr. Boston Blackie arrives, bring him right up, will you?
Sure will.
Oh, Tom. Tom, quick, come in.
Holy mackerel.
No, don't jump, please.
See, Miss Wesley, grab her quick. I'm coming.
Get away from that. Get away from
her.
Let go of me. Let out of me.
Grab her.
Much longer.
I'm coming.
Oh, you shouldn't have stopped me. You shouldn't.
You shouldn't. 25 stories, lady, in town all the way.
Let's take you to my apartment, Tom.
Yes, ma'am. Good thing we got here.
No, you've just postponed it. I tell you, I've got to die.
Now meet Richard Calmer's Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friends.
Oh, Blackie, I'm glad you're here. I couldn't do a thing with it.
That's all right, Mary. Maybe I can do something.
I was with
Hello, Shorty.
Anything I can do?
And be a nice boy, Shorty. Nice and quiet.
Oh, sure, boy.
Mary, what's this girl's name?
I don't know. She won't tell me.
Look, Miss, whatever your name is.
Oh, please, I want to die. Can't you let me alone?
Look, nothing can be as bad as all that.
Please, let me go.
When you're all right, we'll let you go.
I'm all right now.
Jump out the window again? Oh, no.
Please, I want to die. I have to die.
Won't you tell us your name?
No.
Look in a purse, Mary, and see if you can find a name and address.
All right. You don't understand, either one of you.
We understand perfectly. That's why we want to help you.
No one can help me.
Why would you do it at first? Ooh, no wonder. It's a haven.
What about identification?
Oh, well, there doesn't seem to be much of anything in it. This card.
That's it.
There's a name written on it in pencil. Oscar Wolfe. Oh, here.
Hi. Hey,
boss.
Look, Miss, what's his name? Are you Mrs. Oscar Wolfe?
No. If you must know my name, it's Larson. Mrs. Janice Larson.
Just a minute, Shorty. Look, Mrs. Larson, what's your connection with Oscar Wolfe?
He's the reason that I...
In words, then, he's making trouble for you.
That guy Wolfe makes trouble for everybody.
You know,
that's what I've been trying to tell you.
Please let me go, will you?
Not yet. Try to keep it quiet, will you, Mary?
Shorty,
how do you happen to know Oscar Wolfe?
Well, I guess I shouldn't have said nothing, Blackie, but me and my pals are going to take care of Wolfe our own way.
Now, wait a minute, short one. You know better than to get into trouble again.
Yeah. What me and my pals are figuring on doing to this Wolfe ain't no trouble, boss. That's a pleasure.
You let me handle Wolfe for you.
No, thanks, boss.
Where can I see him, Shorty?
Now, look, please, boss, stay away from him,
look,
will you?
Mrs. Larson, maybe you'll be able to tell me where I can get in touch with Mr. Wolfe.
I can't tell you.
All right, Shorty.
Oh, Blackie, do I have to?
What's his address?
Well, Got an office in a hollow building. Number 2121. But that's just the front.
Thanks, Shorty. And Mrs. Larson, cheer up. When I find out what's behind that front, I'll be back.
Take the phone, take a letter to Mr. Robert Hyman. Dear Mr. Hyman, how are you? I am fine. I am fine, period, semicolon. It's an irregular professional. Let's see how it comes back. So you push the telephone needle back. So.
Take a phone, take a letter to Mr. Robert Hyman. Dear Mr. Hyman, how are you?
Peter. Hi, Mr. Wolf. How many times have I told you not to play with that dictaphone?
Oh, Mr. Wolf, it's fun.
Look, I've been buzzing you on the interoffice phone for a whole minute. Couldn't you hear me?
Was that what the buzzing was, Mr. Wolf? I'm sorry.
Listen, we're having a visitor in a few minutes.
Yeah?
Boston Blackie.
Yeah?
He phoned from downstairs. He's on his way up.
Yeah?
Do you have to answer yeah to everything I say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I don't know why Boston Blackie suddenly wants to see me, but I have a good idea. Probably find out what we're up to.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe Blackie knows nothing. So no rough stuff unless it's necessary.
So when you say the word, Mr. Wolf,
I'm going to let you decide when and if this Blackie needs your attention. When he comes in, send him right into my office. You sit here at your desk and listen in through the interoffice telephone. Understand?
Sure.
And don't take time off to play with that dictaphone.
Nah, listening in on you will be just as much fun.
All right. If what Blackie talks to me about hits too close to home, you come into my office and get rid of him.
Rough stuff, maybe, huh?
Only if necessary. Understand?
Yeah.
That's probably Blackie out in the hall now. Wait a minute and then send him into my office.
Yeah, Mr. Wolf.
Come in.
It's Oscar Wolf's office?
Yeah.
I'm Boston Blackie. I just phoned and made an appointment. This is Wolf.
Yeah, go right in. He's waiting for you.
Thanks.
The door right there.
Thank you. Miss Wolf?
Come in.
I'm Boston Blackie.
And to what do I owe the pleasure of this visit?
It may not be a pleasure, Wolf. You know, you look very familiar to me.
I get out and around.
I think you mean in and out, Wolf. In and out of jail.
I've never been in jail.
Not under the name of Oscar Wolf.
What do you mean?
I came here with the idea that I was going to talk to a semi-legitimate businessman about some clients of his. I didn't know I was going to talk to you. You don't have clients, you have victims.
Well, go ahead.
Look, Wolf, I don't know what your racket is, but that's only because I haven't bothered to check into it yet.
Is this the beginning of a threat?
That depends on you. It might only be a warning. But leave certain friends of mine alone, or I'll not only break your racket, but your neck along with it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But you know what I mean, don't you?
You propose violence to put an end to my business.
And to you too, Wolf.
Are you suggesting, Blackie, that you'll go so far as to kill me?
Why not? Nobody'd miss you except the people your death would make happy.
You entertain rather morbid thoughts.
I'm the entertaining type. But don't let these friends of mine have any more trouble with you, Wolf. That's all I've got to say.
I still don't know what... That Peter? Wolf? Yes, he is. But I think he's leaving.
Yes, I guess I am.
Goodbye, Blackie.
If I were you, I'd keep hoping this is goodbye.
Well, Peter, I'm glad you didn't forget to listen in on the interoffice phone.
Did more than that, Mr. Wolf. Not only listened, I took down everything he said on a dictaphone.
Won't you ever stop playing with that dictaphone?
Of course, it was fun. Now I got something else to listen to besides the dictaphone coming back to me.
All right, where's the guy who calls himself Jeter?
Here, Inspector Friday, here. You want to talk to me, huh?
Yeah. When you came into this office this morning, you find your boss's body, huh?
Yeah.
Did you know Oscar Wolf was really Teddy Pascal?
It was Mr. Wolf.
You look dumb enough to believe that. Who's been gunning for him lately?
Nobody.
Come on, come on. A guy like Wolf has guys waiting for him in every corner. Who could have come in here and let Wolf have it?
Oh, a man came in here yesterday and said he would like to kill Mr. Wolf.
Know the man's name?
Boston Black.
No. No, I don't believe it. This is one time I won't be talked into thinking Blackie killed a guy.
I have a thicker record that talks back Blackie and Mr. Wolf.
You better talk sense.
You won't believe me? Listen. Play it, please. Now, listen.
Are you suggesting, Blackie, that you'll go so far as to kill me?
Why not? Nobody miss you, except the people your death would make happy.
You entertain rather morbid thoughts.
Stop that thing.
Good, Victor.
That was Blackie talking, all right. This is one time Blackie's talked himself into a charge of murder.
I don't think Wolf will bother you again, Shorty.
Oh, me and the boys are seeing to that, Blackie. In fact, we might have seen to it already.
Huh? What does that mean?
Oh, nothing, Wolf.
Shorty, if you're up to anything,
no.
I'll get it. Probably the laundry. See if my fountain pen's in the bedroom, will you, Shorty? I've been missing it.
Oh, sure, Wolf.
All right. Now, what do you...
Hello, Blackie.
Well, Inspector Faraday. I suppose I have to invite you in.
I'll come in anyhow.
I'm sure of that. I was just thinking about you. Or rather, I was thinking about absolutely nothing, and that's the same thing.
Don't try any tricks now, Blackie. This time I've got you on a murder rap you'll never beat. You're coming with me.
No, not again. What's that got away?
Blackie, come back here. I'll shoot.
Then go ahead and shoot. I'm going into the bedroom and lie down. I'm tired, and mostly of you.
Blackie, so help me, open that door, I'll let you have it. Unlock that door, Blackie.
I can hardly wait. Who did I kill this time, Inspector?
Teddy Pascal, alias Oscar Wolf.
Teddy Pascal, huh? I knew I'd seen that face somewhere before.
Oh, then you admit you went to see him.
Sure I saw him. What did I do? Forget to pay admission?
You threatened to kill him, Blackie, and you did.
Did that puff-brained sidekick of his hear anything I said to Wolf?
He not only heard it, wise guy, he made a recording of it, every word. That's why I'm taking you in for the murder of Oscar Wolf.
But I have other plans.
The only thing you'll be able to plan from now on is a jailbreak, chum. Because I've got the goods on you this time.
Oh, I
all right, Blackie. I gave you the warning to open that door. Blackie!
Yeah?
Oh, what's the idea of scaring me like that? You know I missed on purpose. But next time I won't. And on purpose. Open up.
Okay.
That's better. Come out with your hands up.
Nothing.
Sure, do you mean to tell me I've been talking to you?
Yeah, me.
Where's Blackie?
Well, a minute ago, he all of a sudden got tired of conversing with you, and I tailed it out the back way.
Now back to Boston Blackie. When a woman who later identified herself as Janice Larson tried to commit suicide, she was stopped by Mary Wesley, Boston Blackie's girlfriend. Blackie discovered that a man named Oscar Wolf was the cause of the woman's difficulties. Wolf, it seems, had also been making trouble for Shorty, Blackie's longtime friend. So Blackie saw Wolf, threatened him, and left. Later, Wolf was found dead. When Inspector Faraday began to investigate, he found that Wolf's assistant had made a recording of the conversation between Wolf and Blackie. Faraday went to Blackie's apartment to make an arrest, but Blackie escaped. It is late the same afternoon. Blackie is sitting on a park bench with Mary.
What are you thinking about, Blackie?
Not what I ought to be thinking about at a time like this, in a place like this. You'll forgive me, won't you, Mary?
Well... All the same, we aren't just going to sit here and count wages, are we?
No. I've been doing some thinking.
About what?
About what saps we were to fall for that Larson woman's story. On account of it, I've had to duck Faraday's cops for hours.
But, Blackie, it seems so real.
If the story she told was real, why isn't the woman real, too? There's no such person as Janice Larson, the telephone book or city director.
Well, then she just gave a false name under the circumstances. I don't blame her.
She's tied up with Wolf's death. In fact, I have two theories about Wolf's murder.
Two?
Shorty and his underworld pals were considering some kind of action against Wolf.
Oh, you don't think Shorty and his friends might have killed him?
I hope I'm wrong. But until I find Shorty, I have to think so.
Yes, but you said you had two theories.
My other guess is that Janice Larson's attempt at suicide was a phony and the beginning of a plot to frame me for Wolf's murder.
John, what makes you think so?
Isn't it just a little more than coincidence that Oscar Wolfe was killed a few hours after I threatened him?
Well, yes.
And isn't it peculiar that Wolf's dumb assistant makes a recording of everything I said?
But you said he was just like an overgrown kid with a new toy.
Well, all I know is Faraday's going to hunt through this town till he finds me if he has to start using a vacuum cleaner. And I have to find Mrs. Larson before he finds me.
Blackie, Mrs. Larson had a Hazleton purse.
Oh, that certainly helps.
Well, of course it does, silly. Hazleton purses are custom made by the B.J. Hazleton Company. I don't think they make more than 40 or 50 a year.
Say, if we can describe Mrs. Larson's purse, the Hazleton Company might tell us where we can get a hold of her.
I should think so.
Well, come on. Let's get down to Hazleton's. You may have the answer there,
Mary. Oh, Blackie, you think so?
If we can get some information on the bag, this thing may be in the bag. Fourth floor, please.
So far, so bad, huh, Blackie?
Well, we found out from Hazleton's that just two people bought a bag like the one we described, not 20.
Yes, but the first woman we went to see wasn't our Mrs. Larson.
Then this has got to be.
What if it isn't?
Well, let's not even think about that.
Here we are, apartment 411.
Cross your fingers, Mary. This had better be it.
They cross the hard there is. Ring the buzzer.
What a wonderful way to spend a beautiful Wednesday evening.
Yes?
We'd like to speak to the lady of the house.
She isn't in.
Hey, don't close the door just yet. We'll come in and wait.
She's out of town. She won't be back for a moment.
Thanks. In that case, we won't wait.
Oh, Blackie, what are we going to do?
I don't know. Well, come on.
Maybe we'd better go back and ask to see a picture of that woman.
Say, Mary, did it seem to you that that maid at the door was nervous?
Yes, I know.
She should be. She is the woman we're looking for. She's Janice Larson.
Blackie, you're right. Of course you are. I wondered why she almost closed the door as soon as she saw us.
But I got a good look at her before she did.
And I see now how she got her expensive clothes in that Hazleton purse. She borrowed them from the woman who lives in that apartment.
And she picked your building and your floor to stage a suicide. She was hired by someone planning to kill Wolf. The whole thing is a frame.
But then Shorty didn't kill Mr. Wolf.
Shorty may still be mixed up in this some way.
Hey, let's go back and talk to that maid.
Oh, no. No, no. I'm leaving her alone until tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night? Thursday?
Thursday, my sweet. That's maid's night out.
Hi, Blackie.
Get in the car, Mary. Too bad you didn't get back sooner. I was just listening to the police on the radio. Guess what? After 2 days, they're still looking for me.
I'm so surprised. Move over.
Convenient instruments, auto radios.
Oh. The maid is in that drugstore, and she's doing just what you thought, Blackie. She's telephoning. She knows that we've been following her.
Close the door. She may come out in a minute and drive off.
I got close enough to the telephone booth to hear part of what she was saying. She's going out to meet her friends, and she has told them that you were following her.
Well, this is working out better than I thought.
Oh, Blackie, no, it isn't. They apparently told her to let you follow her, and I've set a trap for you.
Perfect. I'll ride right into it.
Oh, no, Blackie, no, you can't.
No, I'm pretty sure I can. Don't you see, Mary? If that maid is leading me into a trap, she also is leading me to Oscar Wolfe's killer.
And also to an early grave.
Maybe, but cemeteries are so pretty this time of year.
Oh, Blackie, they'll be waiting for you. You don't know when or where. And now that they know you suspect them, there's no telling what they'll do to you.
Look, Mary, I'm glad you're worried about me. I wouldn't like it any other way. But unless I follow this girl, I'll have Faraday following me the rest of my life. Now, that's a repulsive thought.
Well, if you must trail this girl, then call the inspector and have him go with you.
Mary, if I called Faraday, I'd have to go with him. But you're right about the danger. Honey, I think I'd better solo from here on.
Oh, Blackie, please, please, will you get Faraday?
Why do you think I left my own car at home and rented this cream-colored jalopy? I don't want Faraday near me.
Please don't do this, darling.
Honey, I have to. Now, be a good girl and go home. I'll call you as soon as I have this thing cleared up.
Oh, Blackie, you're such a fool.
Go ahead, Mary. Please, a fool then, huh? Out.
I'll say I'm getting out. Oh, my goodness. My purse, I dropped it.
Oh, you dropped your purse? Wait a minute, I'll come around and pick it up for you.
I can pick up my own purse, thank you.
Well, better do it quickly, then. Our girlfriend, the maid, is coming into the drugstore.
Blackie, please, will you change your mind and call Faraday?
Not a chance. I won't call him, and he has no way of finding me.
No? If I were you, Blackie, I wouldn't be quite so sure.
Brother, another red light.
Give me a lift, bud.
Sorry,
thanks.
I'm a...
Don't yell for no cops or this gun will go off in your middle.
Well, you came along sooner than I thought you would.
You gotta go, Light. Get going.
Sure. Okay, where to?
Just keep following that car.
With pleasure.
And with me. Go left at this crossroad. I got a gun on you, see?
I'd rather watch the road than the rod. Joke.
Glad you told me. And it's a cop car in back of it. Can't warn us, but don't give no signals when he passes.
Signals? You mean like dropping my handkerchief?
Hey, step on a brake. That cop is cutting us off.
How unfortunate.
Hey, what is this?
That we have company.
Okay, Blackie. Don't try any tricks. I got a gun on you.
Inspector Faraday, why, everybody has a gun on me, even my little playmate here.
Grab him on the other side, Monahan.
Got him. Right, you go with me. I got a permit.
Sure, sure. Come on, Blackie. You and your partner are going down to headquarters.
Not till I finish what I started.
You were finished when you killed Oscar Wolf.
I didn't kill Wolf, and thanks to you, my one clue to Wolf's real killer got away.
No, Starling. Come on.
Look, Faraday, give me 60 seconds alone in this car with my pal here, and I'll find out who Wolf's killer really is.
And have you drive away? Nothing doing.
All right, here. Here are the keys to this car. Ignition and everything.
I don't know why I listen to you, Blackie.
Because if you don't, you won't know anything.
Let me out of here.
Oh, no, pal. Oh, no. You and I are going to sit here and play patty cake. Faraday, you and Monahan take a little walk, will you?
What are you going to do?
Give my pal here 20 seconds to tell me where I can find Wolf's killer.
What if he won't talk?
He'll talk, Faraday. Or it'll be a week before he can move his jaw again. That mug said Wolf's killer was at 47 Willow Street, and this is 47 Willow Street. All right. Let's open the door.
How did you do that?
It was extremely difficult. I turned the knob. Wait a minute. The adhesive tape is coming off my knuckles. My pal's jaw was a little hard.
Look, if that door was unlocked, we're not on the trail of any killer. A killer doesn't hide out in an unlocked house.
He may have been expecting someone, you know.
You?
Yes. He expected me to be following a girl named Janice Lawson.
Who's she?
The girl I was following. And not for the reason you think. She probably screamed when she heard the siren on your car.
Janice!
Shh, what did I tell you?
The voice came from that room there. Let's go.
Not so fast.
Janice!
Unless he thinks it's Janice, he may duck out the back way. Come on. To the door, quick.
Who's there?
It's Janice!
Let's come on in.
Okay, Faraday, let's go.
Janice, what's your
All right, don't move.
Hey, what is this?
Hey, Faraday, look who's here. It's Jeter, Oscar Wolf's secretary.
Oh. Hey, Inspector Faraday.
Well, aren't you going to say hello to me? Or did you expect me to arrive with less official company?
What's this guy got to do with killing Wolf?
Check on Wolf and you'll find he was the boss of a very high-paying racket.
I've already checked. He was hijacking drugstore supplies and selling them to anybody who'd take a chance.
And this guy, Jeter, wanted to boss the racket himself.
He's too dumb for that.
I wouldn't hurt Mr. Wolf. It was nice to me.
Don't start putting on that act again, Jeter. No dope could have planned to frame me into Wolf's killing as well as you did. First, you sent that Lawson girl up to Mary's apartment house to pretend suicide. Then to tell me a phony story so I'd come down to see Wolf.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I do. When I told you a trick, you made a recording of everything I said to Wolf. It's just about cinched the case against me. When what you had on that record sounded like condemning evidence against me, you shot and killed Wolf.
You don't make any sense.
It seemed kind of funny to me that you'd have a record of Blackie's voice. It was too pat. I don't say this proves you killed Wolf, but you're coming to headquarters for questioning.
Don't yell, Jeter. Just say, come in. Let's get behind the door, Inspector. Quick.
Come in.
Awful has happened. Blackie stopped following me, and I had to duck some cops.
Who are you?
What do you mean, who am I? You owe me $500.
I never seen you before in my life.
You never saw me before. You hired me to put on an act in that apartment building for you so you could get Boston Blackie into your boss's office.
That's it, Faraday.
You fool, why didn't you keep your mouth shut?
All right, lady. You too, Jeter. You're coming down to headquarters.
Still only for questioning, Inspector?
For answering, Blackie. To a charge of murder. I know when I've found my man.
My congratulations, Inspector, for the brilliant way you found him.
You seem very happy tonight, Blackie.
I'm a little puzzled, though, Mary, and worried.
Worried?
About Shorty?
No, I found Shorty. He and his friends had nothing to do with Wolf's death. And the reason I couldn't find Shorty before is that he was looking for me.
Well, then what are you worried about?
The way Faraday managed to find me when I was trailing the maid's car, he's getting too smart.
Oh, Blackie, I'm afraid I have a confession to make.
A confession?
Uh-huh. You remember when I accidentally dropped my purse?
Accidentally?
Well, it wasn't accidentally. I dropped it so that I could use my lipstick to write the word Blackie on that nice cream-colored car of yours.
You mean I drove down the street with the word Blackie written on the side of my car in lipstick?
Sure. Don't you like Blackie in lipstick?
Well, maybe, Mary, but that's getting it the hard way.
Again, it's Jennifer Moss, author. My love of detective stories inspired me to write Town Red, the first in a series of mysteries with a metaphysical twist. Check out the rave reviews on Amazon. Just search for Town Red by Jennifer Moss. Now back to the show. You're listening to the great detectives of old time radio with your host, Adam Graham.
Welcome back. Well, an interesting episode. The identity of the killer was kind of commonsensical when you thought about it, but just the way that our expectations of him were set did put it in doubt. I also liked the fact that in this one, Faraday wasn't so quick to arrest Blackie until he actually heard the dictaphone tape, which... you know, it's still not ironclad evidence, particularly when he was suspicious about it. But I think that suspicious was a little subconscious. And a good job by Mary on this one, protecting Blackie from himself. And, of course, interesting to hear Frank Lovejoy as a villain in this. We will actually hear him in Nightbeat just coming up in a few weeks once we get through with Michael Shane. Finally, we have an email from Christine, who writes in from Jakarta, says, I know I'm about 2 weeks late and defense attorney has ended, but I couldn't not let you know how much I've enjoyed the few episodes you were able to bring us. I thoroughly like Mercedes McCambridge. What a deliciously dramatic name. I love it. And I like the light romance aspect between her and Judd amidst all the mystery solving and helping get innocent people out of trouble with the law. Excellent decision to share this one. Thanks for that. Well, thanks so much, Christine. I'm glad you enjoyed it and received some pretty good feedback on Defense Attorney. So it's always a pleasure to bring those lesser-known series to you. All right, well, that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. And then next Thursday, another episode of Boston Blackie. In the meantime, send your comments to Box13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.